Neil Whiteside
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Next, I've got a couple more guests. I don't get any time to myself in this studio anymore. But never mind, it's a pleasure to welcome into the studio from Woodfine Solicitors, the HR manager, Karen Jobling. Karen, hello.
Hello.
And Sarah Calder, who's director of the Law Clinic at Anglia Ruskin University. Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon.
Right, we're going to talk about how to become a lawyer. And the first thing which you two ladies have pointed out is, let's talk whether we're talking solicitors or barristers. And it's a bit like shipping a boat. There's a difference.
Yes. We're going to talk about solicitors.
Okay.
Barristers are more to do with the courts.
And it's a different route. Everybody would do a law degree, but then you would peel off into different directions. If you want to be a solicitor, you'd go one way and a barrister the other way.
Right. And what is the difference then? Well, the barristers are the ones we see standing up in court doing the Millard stuff.
Yeah, in the dramas, that will be the person yes. with the wig on. And the solicitors tend to be more office-based. There is a bit of a grey area now, which just to confuse things even more, where you've got solicitors who can appear in court and barristers who can see clients direct.
Right.
But there is a clear distinction, mainly, especially in the way that you actually come to qualification.
Okay. So at what point does a young person who's thinking, do you know, maybe a career in law is for me, at what point do they need to be start seriously thinking about it? Is it at A-levels? Is it, don't do biology and chemistry and things like that?
It can be at any age now. So if you're lucky enough to know at GCSE level, then I suppose you might then pick GCSE law. But quite equally, you can wait until you've done your degree. You could do a degree in something completely different. You could even do a different career and then move into law. So there's no time now where you have to say, I've got to go into law.
Okay, but like being a vet and like being a doctor, it tends to, you know, that people say, well, it's 7 years for this.
Yes.
I mean, what sort of education period are you looking at before you're at a point where you're qualified and able to...
Okay, roughly, if you're going the law degree route, you're talking about 4 years, roughly.
Yeah, so you've got a 3-year degree, and then if you're going to be a solicitor, it's 1 year.
Yeah, so you do your 3-year degree, then you do what you call your legal practice course, and then you do a 2-year training contract with a law firm like ourselves, and then you'll be qualified to become a solicitor.
Right, and presumably most law firms are on the lookout for young, upcoming young fresh blood to bring through. So is it common practice? Do everyone know what's going on here? Is there a fairly accepted route through?
That's the accepted standard route that's been going on forever and a day. So I would say that's what universities have always promoted. They want you to do your law degrees, but there are now other routes because of access to education being different. So you can now go through what they call a Silex route, where you can work and study at the same time, so you don't have to do a law degree.
Okay.
They're now also, in the last couple of years, you've now got legal apprenticeships as well, so it opens it out to everybody.
OK, so where does this all play in with you, Sarah, at Anglia Ruskin? What's your role in all this?
Well, so we offer at the Law Clinic a really unique opportunity for our law students, and it is only our law students, to get involved and get some practical experience with real clients with real life problems. And they will be working alongside local qualified and experienced lawyers in helping members of the public. So it's really, really valuable to them to get that experience. So then, because there's a lot of competition for all these training contracts, so anything you can do to get on your CV that shows that not only have you ticked the academic boxes, but you're bringing something else to the table, or you can hit the ground running when you get to work, you know how to speak to clients, how to behave in a professional environment, are all massive pluses when you're looking for work.
Well, I mean, that must be, it's real thinking on your hoof, isn't it? When someone comes in and sits down to you, because where do you start?
Well, that's what we do. We mainly run family law advice clinics, and so our students, we only launched in April of this year, so students have been absolutely fantastic. They get the client, they meet the client when they first arrive, and could be very upset because it's, you know, these are family law issues. They get 15 minutes with the client where they sit down, and it's their job to do what a trainee might well do at work, is to do that initial interview to sift out what are the extraneous issues, what's the legal point here, and then they will introduce the client, so they get the interaction with the lawyers, and then they take a note of the advice so that we can give that to the member of the public, so they've got something to remind them. So it's all the skills, the note taking, the client care, professionalism, all wrapped up, that we're able to offer actually on campus as part of the experience of a degree with us.
Yes, because you say about note taking, but that has got to be one of the most fundamental things, isn't it? I mean, you write the wrong things down.
Yeah, and stripping away, not taking everything down verbatim, it's the skill of actually identifying, well, what are the important bits here? What are the bits we need to be able to take away?
Mm-hmm. What about mentoring? Do the older partners in a firm tend to mentor?
Absolutely. As part of our training contract, we have supervisors. So on the training contract, they will work in four different areas of law throughout the 2 years. And as part of that, they will have a supervisor that supervises that particular area of work, and they have a mentor as well. Mentor tends to be another solicitor, but not necessarily a partner, but someone that they can talk to freely about not just their work, but about pastoral care, or if there's any issues or anything at all that they might have concerns about. Then but that's not part of the solicitor's regulation authority requirements for a training contract. It's just something.
It's just something
that we
you do.
Yes.
And how important is it to be with a big firm or a small firm? Is it a mixture of experience?
I think it's a mixture. At the end of the day, it depends what you want to do with your career. If you want to be a high-flying London lawyer, then you really need to be in a big law firm down in London. But us regionals, we can offer probably better training contracts, I would say, because we get more experience firsthand at all different areas of law. You tend to find in the bigger law firms, they tend to stick to one particular area. And just do the same thing, whereas we throw them in at the deep end. They get to meet clients straight away, they get to take notes, they get to interview, they get to go to court if that's part of it, so they get to do the whole lot right from the start, even down to doing things like time recording, which is part of being a solicitor. You have to record all of your time, so they get to do that straight away and understand what fee targets are all about and all that sort of stuff as well.
Right, okay. And I get the impression, you know, you see about sort of junior doctors working crazy hours, and you kind of get the impression that junior lawyers also can wind up working long hours. Is it a stressful environment or?
I would say it's a stressful environment. Certainly for a trainee solicitor, they have to move to four different areas of law in 2 years, and they tell me that that's really daunting because it's like starting from scratch every 6 months because you're learning a new area of law again. So I think they do find it particularly stressful. We try to keep a good work-life balance. We don't expect people to work long hours, so we do try to stick to the 9 to 5:30 hours. They do have to do marketing as well, so they will be expected to go out and meet and greet and do all the marketing activities outside of work time as well.
Yeah,
but, you know, I would say it's probably more stressful in bigger law firms.
Yeah, definitely. The city firms would expect you to work very long hours as a trainee.
And is it rewarding, both financially and you know, personally? Is it something you'd sit back at the end?
I think so.
In the old days, it was you know, to be in one of the professions was highly regarded, and you know, we've seen things like estate agents and stuff like that take a hammering, and banking has taken a real hammering over the years, hasn't it? It's not necessarily quite.
I think you probably have to ask a solicitor that.
Well, I'd say we get a lot of, so we rely on volunteer solicitors from the local community to come in and give the advice in our clinics, and they get a huge amount out of. So that's all done what's called pro bono, so they do it for free. It's just as part of what they like to see as giving back, and they get a huge amount of satisfaction from that alongside their paid work, because there's always going to be a certain number of clients who can't afford to access legal advice, and they're aware of that, and I think to be able to do those things as well, which are becoming more and more a part and parcel of what law firms offer, is a bit of a pro bono offering. I think that sort of evens it out a bit, so you feel like you are actually helping people as well.
And on an ongoing basis, what do they need to do? Is it, again, like doctors and everyone else, are they permanently assessed, or are you having to keep on top of your game and swat up on new laws?
Yes, they have to do professional development all the time. They've changed the rules now, so you don't have to do a fixed amount of hours, but yes, you're expected as part of your membership to the Law Society to do continuous professional development. So it's ongoing training, updating your skills, because the law changes. So we're always doing employment law updates. I'm always doing employment law updates. Solicitors have to do the same thing. And it's part of their practicing certificate. So you have to apply for a practicing certificate every year in order to practice law. And as part of that, you have to demonstrate that you've done training as well.
Okay. Now, Sarah, you were saying that you're now in the education side of law. And is that a common path as well?
Not the one I was even aware of. I started off in a city firm as a trainee and have worked in a variety of different areas and have ended up in an area I didn't even know existed in terms of law clinics and free legal advice. So I think for me, I would say that law, the qualification in law and being a solicitor, has opened a lot of doors that you wouldn't even know existed. It's like, I think with young people, quite often you don't even know the jobs that are out there until you start actually trying out a few different things. So if you qualify as a lawyer, yes, there's the obvious routes of solicitor and barrister, which you could go down. But then so many other opportunities could open up. I mean, there's academia, you could start teaching. As I say, that I'm involved in law clinics, but there are a lot of other areas you can go in-house, can't you,
yes,
as well?
Yes, go in-house. I also use a lot of recruitment agencies to recruit staff that are also ex-solicitors.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. So who've decided they no longer want to do that, but know what skills are required to be a solicitor and what we're looking for. Makes it a bit easier for recruitment because you can just say, I want a commercial
you'll
property
speak the right
solicitor,
language,
and they know
yeah.
what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. And what age do you become a partner? Is that kind of the ultimate aim, to become a partner in a firm? And if so, do you retire out young, or do they all stay there?
Well, we know I'm saying our law firm, they seem to go on forever.
Well, no, it's funny you said that does strike me. A lot of the solicitors yes. I know who are newly retired are actually sort of, some of them well into their 70s. You think,
yes.
crikey, they obviously must be fun to do. They must enjoy something.
They must
be, exactly.
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah, I mean, we've got a number that are approaching retirement age and beyond. And we've got a number of young partners as well coming through. So we've got a right mixture, which is nice. But yes, they do seem to hang around.
I think it's very satisfying to have a bank of knowledge that you can actually apply to practical issues and,
yes.
and make a difference to situations, and I think that's probably gets quite addictive to
yes.
you can actually help people. You're the one with the answers.
Yeah, and it gets easier the more you've been doing
yes.
it gets easier. It's all, you've had a case like that and stuff just comes back. Mm. What about the difference, balance between men and women? Is it a male dominated industry, or is it really good for girls now?
Well, no, I think it's a mixture.
We do find, I think, that in terms of law students, it is more weighted towards, we've got far more women than men. Probably at the moment we've got 300 students, and I would say what we see coming through law clinic is probably indicative of the student makeup as it is, and I think there's probably more women at the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, I'd say if I look at my trainee solicitors at the moment, I've got probably four females to two males.
Wow. And
we're overtaking.
I was going to say, you got us on the run, got us on the back of. And again, is the ethnic mix, do you find a lot of English students do? Because quite often people, yeah, students come from abroad, don't they? And it seems that a lot of them come here to study law.
Yes, I mean, we have a very diverse student body, and that's something we're really proud of. So we have, on our law clinic team, we've got a couple of Canadian nationals who will do their academic bit with us and then go back and aim to practice back in Canada. So yeah, there's a lot of different people coming into our university. We've got Italian, a couple of Russians on our team.
Wow.
So it's very diverse.
Mm. Excellent. If people want to find out more, what's the best way to just get a taster of all this? Because, yeah, as I said, some people may think, I want to be a lawyer. My father was a lawyer, his father before him. But what about those who are thinking, I think I'd like to do it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, I would recommend work experience.
Right.
So all law firms tend to offer work experience or placements. They're all different. We tend to offer placements through the summer for GCSE level, and then for A level, and then for university students as well. So that would be my recommendation.
And those are proper work placements where they
yes.
get involved in
you can come along. Well, more at the GCSE level, you tend to be more watching. You get to go across to the courts, especially if you're now Milton Keynes office. You get to go across to the courts and see what's going on over there, just to get an idea of it, because it is not like it is on the TV.
Is it not?
No.
Have they sold us a pub?
But I would recommend coming along to one of the open days that we run at Anglia Ruskin University, and go onto the website anglia.ac.uk. That will tell you about the academic side, and also we do try and give a bit of a look at the law clinic and the experience you can get, which is quite unique, because
yeah.
different universities may offer a law clinic, but ours is sort of catered to what we think would be best for our students
to
in building
actually
networks.
See what
things.
When you get up on a Monday morning and you put your briefcase down on your desk,
yeah.
this is the sort of stuff you're going to be facing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been fascinating. I think I'll stick to doing this job if you don't mind. I don't think I've got the brain power or the to me it's the whole understanding the case that must terrify. I mean, presumably you're all insured and things like that if anything goes horrendously wrong. But
yes, we have insurance, yes.
But for now, Karen Jobling, she's the HR manager at Woodfine Solicitors. Sarah Calder, director of the law clinic at Anglia Ruskin University. Thanks for coming in this afternoon. And if people want to find out more, just get in touch with Anglia Ruskin website. You said anglia.ac.uk.
That's it, yep.
Woodfines.co.uk.
There you go.
Or you've got the SRA website.
Okay, the SRA website.
Yes, Solicitors Regulation Authority. They have all the information on there on how to become a solicitor.
All right, smashing. Thank you very much indeed for coming in.